Hi, Jeff. As you can hear behind me, it's a chaotic situation. We have flashbangs going off as federal law enforcement officers have started engaging with the crowd. And we see
in the wake of the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis in late May, peaceful marches and powerful acts of protest started to sweep the country. They haven't stopped in Portland. Today, a conversation with a pair of COIN reporters as they weigh in on the situation on the streets, the nightly shift from peaceful march to violent protest, and how the arrival of federal agents seemed to accelerate the unrest. I am Ian Costello. It is Friday, July 31st, and this is the COIN Podcast Network coverage of the 2020 protests in Portland.
Welcome to the COIN Podcast Network.
As a veteran reporter for COIN 6 News, Jennifer Dowling has been covering protests in Portland for several years.
The first protest that I covered was a May Day rally, and that was a big one. There was thousands of people marching, and they were marching throughout downtown, and especially in the Pioneer Courthouse Square area.
COIN digital reporter Hannah Ray Lambert experienced her first protest late in the summer of 2019.
So the first one that I remember covering, like out in the field, was one last August where Patriot Prayer and the Proud Boys faced off against left-wing counter-protesters near the Portland waterfront.
Both have found themselves caught in the crossfire when things get violent.
And that was also my first time ever experiencing tear gas as officers tried to disperse the crowd.
They were pepper spraying people or using mace, I'm not sure what, and some of it wafted into my eyes. I remember realizing at that point that...
And both have unique first-person insight into what is happening downtown that doesn't always come across on television or websites. Here now is my conversation with them. Hannah Ray,
the most recent round of marches that have descended into these protests that often turn violent started in late May. What was your first night out covering them?
So my first night out, and I checked the date before we started recording, was May 31st. So that was the third night of demonstrations. When I started off on the east side, where there was this huge peaceful group that marched to the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office building on Burnside, officers were standing outside it in their riot gear and stuff, but there were also PPB liaison officers like kind of going around in the crowd talking to people, which is something you don't see anymore, officers trying to have conversations with the protesters. So you had that huge peaceful group over there. And then later that night, some of the protesters crossed the Burnside Bridge into downtown, where the streets around the Justice Center were absolutely packed with parked cars and just people everywhere. It was something I'd never seen downtown before.
Jennifer, I've been working with you long enough to know that you've covered a lot of different kinds of unrest. Since this most recent round of marches and protests following the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis, have you noticed a different tone or attitude among the people who are hitting the streets?
Well, that's difficult because you're dealing with different energies and different feelings and different topics. So folks in Portland have a history of protests. I've covered protests that range from Patriot Prayer versus folks who identify as anti-fascist, or people who identify with the Trump politics and people who don't. I've done May Day, which is more of a labor-intensive protest. I've done protests on climate change. So every protest has its own feel, so it's hard to compare the protests to one another. This particular protest is more focused on the Black Lives Matter movement. So this is more about a movement toward more equality for people of color.
During the peaceful Black Lives Matter marches, you kind of embedded yourselves and walked with them. How would you describe their tone of those events during the first few weeks that you were covering them?
Right. So in the early weeks, we had those massive peaceful marches that usually happen on the east side of the river, sometimes in other locations around the city. We had speakers riding in the back of pickup trucks, leading chants and singing and just talking with the crowd. They drew thousands of protesters, I think like 10,000 or more at one point, out into the streets. And they were protesters of all ages. It was grandparents, parents with their kids and strollers. And it was like a very, very relaxed kind of festive atmosphere.
Such a big movement in the peaceful protesters on the east side, thousands of people peacefully marching with nothing happening. I want to make sure to give a note to that.
In your storytelling, how do you differentiate between the people who are out there to stay peaceful and the people who clearly are not?
You know, I think you can see it with your own eyes when you're out there, who's doing what. And so I always make sure to mention that there's a peaceful protest going on over here, and maybe there's some people that are cutting through the fence over there. You know, maybe there's some other folks that are fighting or throwing things over here. So I try to make sure that I talk about each group and what I'm seeing. Because if you just report on what you're observing, you will notice by far and large peaceful groups of protesters at these events. And then you notice what's going on around a certain other area. And you can talk about that and distinguish between the two. It's just about how you are in your description of the event.
From an outsider's perspective, that peaceful tone seems to have changed significantly when the federal government increased its presence, specifically around the courthouse. You've been out there in it. How different does it feel to you now?
I mean, even when the peaceful marches were going on, you still had those nightly demonstrations, mostly by the Justice Center, so right next to the federal courthouse. And those were always the ones where you saw more property damage and conflicts with police. But then when the feds came to town, I think it kind of reignited things. Earlier this month, it seemed like things were starting to die down a little bit. We were starting to see comparatively pretty small crowds downtown, like the same 100 to 200 people every night. And I don't know that it would have completely fizzled out or anything like that. But when the feds started clashing with protesters more, it seemed to reignite things. And we started seeing crowds in the low thousands again downtown. And it also brought in a lot of new protesters, too. People who I'd be talking to, and this would be their first time out. They just decided now was the time.
For sure. I saw a lot of people come out that hadn't come out before, who maybe supported the BLM movement over the past few weeks, but maybe wanted to come out in force to show that they also wanted the federal officers out of town. By far, the most people I've seen since the protests originally started were out this past weekend when we started to realize what the magnitude of federal officers and their interactions with the protesters looked like. We started seeing more videos. People started becoming more aware of how these interactions were going on downtown. They saw people being gassed and sprayed with eye irritant, likely pepper spray, and also non-lethal munitions being fired at people. So they started to see all these reports of what was happening when the federal officers were interacting with people downtown. And of course, the federal officers also say they're getting injured. But I think that people in Portland felt most strongly that there was someone in the city that they wanted to leave. That's what I heard when I interviewed the protesters down there. They felt that it was an occupation, in their words, by the federal government and an overstep of the federal government's boundaries. We saw that the federal government was moving block to block deeper within Portland. They weren't just staying around the federal courthouse building. They were pushing protesters into the streets. And I think that struck a nerve with people in Portland because they feel that it should be a city matter. The city officials and the city police should be getting things under control, or the Oregon State Police, but they were not comfortable with the federal officers moving into Portland, pushing people deep into downtown and leaving the boundaries of the federal property. They thought it was a big overstep.
We'll be right back.
The COIN Podcast Network is your home for on-demand coverage of local news, sports, weather, and entertainment you won't find anywhere else. You can always find us on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you download your favorite podcasts.
Hey, everybody. Executive producer Ian Costello here, coming to you from the Work From Home COIN Podcast Studios. When we started our podcasts back in February of 2019, we had no idea that we would end up here. Now, a year and a half later, tens of thousands of you are listening to hundreds of our podcasts, and we need to make some changes to grow even further. That's why, starting this week, you can find all of the COIN podcasts in one place. The brand new COIN Podcast Network. From Beaver Smack to Writer's Block. From your weather to our constant coverage of the coronavirus pandemic and the protests in Portland. It is all available in one place. So, to keep hearing the podcasts you already love and to discover more of our exclusive audio content,
head to coin.com/podcasts or search Coin, that's K-O-I-N, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, or Podbean. Thank you for listening. On a nightly basis, it seems that these go from a relatively peaceful march to a loud protest and then to violence. As that atmosphere starts to change, how does it feel?
The shift is usually pretty apparent. Recently, there have been two sort of separate groups downtown. So there's one group that's usually led by people of color who are giving speeches about racial injustice and police brutality on the steps of the Justice Center. That group also tends to kind of implore the crowd on the other side to be peaceful and not attack the federal courthouse or the Justice Center. But then as you're standing there listening to the speeches and stuff, you can hear the fireworks start to go off a block away by the federal courthouse. And that's usually your first sign the tone is changing for the night. Eventually, the Justice Center group either goes home or joins the other demonstrators. And then you typically see more fireworks, trash and other stuff getting thrown over the fence and some fires being lit using the trash. So at that point, it's usually a pretty good sign that federal officers are going to start making some announcements soon, warning people to knock it off, or they're going to use crowd control munitions. But that usually, at least in my experience, makes the crowd get a little more amped up once they start hearing the loudspeaker warnings from the federal officers. And sometimes the feds will give as little as like one warning before they come out and launch crowd control munitions. Sometimes they'll give like 10 or more. So it's kind of anybody's guess at that point when things are really going to switch.
I would say because the sun's setting later, that's happening later too. So I would say that's happening around 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock. Usually in the evening hours, you have people giving speeches and things like that on the steps of the Justice Center. That's what's currently happening right now. So they usually wrap up around 9 o'clock, maybe 10. And then some people start focusing on the fence. And the other people are just standing around with their signs and chanting. And you have the yellow moms forming a wall and things like that. And then you'll have some people maybe trying to get over the fence, climb over the fence or cut the fence or throwing things over the fence or starting small fires like trash fires, either within the fence or just outside of it. So that's generally when things pick up, when the speeches are done on the steps of the Justice Center or wherever people are doing their rallies. And it's usually around 9 or 10 o'clock when things start to pick up a little bit, and then the federal officers respond. And that's usually between 10 and midnight.
When this switch flips each night, it seems pretty chaotic. Is there a point at which you've been scared?
I'm not particularly scared when I go out. I have a team usually with me, a photographer and security detail, and I try to follow the ebb and flow of the crowd. So there are times when things get a little hairy. It might make me a little nervous as to where my position is or where I should go during a protest to keep myself safe. And if that's the case, I will move into a safe position. So I'm not necessarily afraid of any kind of protest situation, but I am very aware of my surroundings. If the spidey senses start tingling and I realize I'm in a bad spot, I move back to a safer location or I change my environment.
The only moments I've actually felt scared were a few nights in late June. One of them was when I had been recording some people trying to take out security cameras and setting up roadblocks and stuff. And a few people came over and tried to stop me filming. And then a few minutes later, I was recording a similar scene by Terry Shrunk Plaza, and a demonstrator got into a shoving match with my security detail. So that wasn't super fun. And then on June 30th, I was following a march to the Portland Police Association building in North Portland, but I had to like bail partway through because someone saw me take video of graffiti being sprayed. And I could hear the person yelling behind us, and lasers started getting shined at us, and it might not have gotten physical, but it's also like a very stressful environment when you start to hear a crowd of a couple hundred people like turning on you and noticing that you're there and wanting you gone. So we bailed again and then went back later when we heard police ordering the crowd to disperse.
Thanks in large part to the national media spotlight that has been on Portland over the last couple of weeks. There's this impression out there that downtown Portland is a war zone. The two of you are down there in it on almost a daily basis. How would you describe it to somebody who hasn't seen it? What does it look like in the daylight?
Oh, it's so weird. It's like, I'll go over every once in a while at like 4 or 5, just to do a quick lap around the federal courthouse and justice center to see what it looks like before the demonstrations start. And when the fence was down, it was like a weird tourist attraction. Like people were walking through the area in front of the federal courthouse, like taking pictures of the graffiti and stuff. They've got like their kids with them. It's very bizarre.
In the daytime, it's a completely different look. There's still typically some protesters hanging around Chapman Square and Loudsdale Square. They are cooking and feeding people kind of in a grassroots way, people donating medical supplies for protesters and to those who are cooking food for people. They're giving it away to homeless people. So when you go down there during the day, just in those two areas, right in front of the federal courthouse building and the Justice Center, you see people kind of gathering and doing what they think is a grassroots community type situation where there's tents set up. The parks are supposed to be closed, so I don't know how the city officials feel about that. They have been clearing the parks at night, but that's what I've noticed during the day. People regroup and hang out. And then the businesses surrounding it are business as usual, except for maybe plywood on the windows or something to protect them in case things happen. But you can go into Pioneer Courthouse Square and go shopping at Nordstrom's or some of the other shops that have opened there, Banana Republic, and the restaurants are open with coronavirus and COVID-19 restrictions, but they're getting back to some kind of flow. It's not a big protest scene during the day. You can come downtown and shop downtown and walk around and nothing's going to happen to you. You're not going to get tear gassed. You're not going to get hit with a pepper ball. You're not going to run into a massive crowd of protesters.
Jennifer, you're out there in it almost every night. You have been for more than 2 months. When you are talking to people, what are they telling you that they actually want?
They've told me this past week that they want the federal officers to leave. And they also want equal justice for people of color. They want the Black Lives Matter movement to mean something. They want social change. They want police reform. So people are treated equally under the law so that one group isn't favored over the other and the other group is suffering under old systemic, as they would say, racism system still running in society today. That's their viewpoint. That's what they've told me over the past couple weeks.
Wednesday, we were able to confirm that there is a plan in place to begin the drawdown of federal agents from Portland to be replaced by and large by Oregon State Police. Do you feel that that will make a difference?
It's so hard to tell. Oregon State Police are still police, and it's not like protesters weren't clashing with Portland police before the feds came to town. They don't like Portland police or OSP more than the feds necessarily. They have lots and lots of negative things to say about all of the different departments' tactics and escalations and past use of force incidents that the protesters take issue with. So I think it could go either way. I don't think we're going to see an end to the demonstrations anytime soon, but it will definitely be interesting to see what happens as the feds kind of pull back.
Well, a lot of people told me that they are happy with that decision and they were happy that Governor Brown was able to work out some sort of agreement, but they were also skeptical that it actually was going to happen. People told me that they would believe it when they saw it, that they didn't trust the Trump administration, that they thought that federal officers were going to hang around and continue the same activity. And they were hopeful, but they were hesitant to say, yes, I believe that this is actually going to happen.
Thursday afternoon, Oregon State Police troopers officially began their watch over the Mark Hatfield Federal Courthouse in Portland as part of an agreement between the Department of Justice and Governor Kate Brown to reduce federal presence in the city. Thursday night was the calmest night of protest in weeks. Tonight will mark the 64th straight night of protests in Portland since George Floyd's death. That does it for Friday, July 31st.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. We will talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Coin Podcast Network. You can listen to more great Coin podcasts on coin.com/podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Please listen, download, subscribe, and review.